Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
K Diddy, what it do? It be a boy named Fix, reppin' Shadow Diamonds, Global ENT. I wanna give a shout out to I Am Indie Radio Station. Big up to all my independent labels, yo, getting that independent money. Hey yo, drop that next track.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? It's your boy K Diddy, coming to you from I Am Indie. Y'all know it's just a world movement thing. Thanks for joining us. Every Wednesday we come to you live and bringing you the latest and the most exciting news in the record industry. And as always, we have an exciting guest for today, Mr. Chris Jasper of the world renowned, the one and only, the Isley Brothers will be joining us shortly here. So sit back, let your windows down, turn your air conditioner up, and prepare for us to bless you, because we'll be blessing your eardrums. Just hang in. We'll be right back with you with Mr. Chris Jasper. Y'all put your ears on this one. This is going to take you way back, and we'll be right back with our guest for the day.
Come on, come on, come on. Oh, put my best stuff on. Get ready, baby, don't take too long, cause I wanna be with you in the night.
Michael Henderson in the Nighttime. I know that took everybody way back. That's probably why I did that. Let me see if our guest is with us. Mr. Jasper, you're in the building.
Yes, I am.
Oh, how you doing today, sir? Welcome to the show.
No, thank you. Thank you. I'm doing pretty good.
Great, great, man. It's such an honor, such a thrill to have you on the show, man. I've been following you. Like I said, I'd say I'm one of your world's greatest fans. Amongst about 50 million other people, but I'm claiming I'm the number one right today.
All right.
could never have too many of those, man. And I want to also, before we get going with this interview, man, congratulate you, man. 2014 Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, man. That's huge.
Oh yeah, man. It's amazing. You know, not many people get that award, and I feel very honored, you know, to be part of that.
Well, that's great. And as you should, man, because you definitely put in the work. Before I was reading some of your stuff, man, I was finna say, well, you know, I'm the old man around here. But I guess I can still say that because I am, like, a little bit older than you. But you've definitely been putting in work, so you definitely deserve all the great things, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, let me tell you, let me see, where do we want to go? I always like to start from the beginning, Chris, because I know who you are. I know who the Isley brothers are. But let's play like to the listeners that don't know who you are, and I don't know what planet they may live on, but I guess there's some people out there. But I know a lot of us, you know, like to know your background. I know you're a trained musician, and I don't know if your family was in a musician, but what got you started? What made you decide you want to get into this business?
Well, my mother played piano. She was pretty good, and she knew how to read music. And she was the one who encouraged me to start to take piano lessons. I think I was about maybe 7 years old, and I used to listen to the songs on the radio, and I would play by ear. You know, I'd go over to the piano and, you know, work out the chords. And, you know, she saw I had, you know, the ear for music. So she said, you know, why don't you take lessons? She said you could really benefit from that. So I said, all right, I guess I would. But, you know, like any other kid, I wanted to play and, you know, play baseball and football and everything else. But, you know, I had to reserve a little bit of time a day to practice. And I was lucky to be to have the opportunity to study with this professor from Cincinnati Conservatory. And he really taught me, he taught me how to read music first, but then he taught me how to analyze music and pick it apart, you know, and that really helped me with songwriting because I always wanted to be a songwriter too. So that's where it kind of all began. And then I graduated high school and I'd taken the piano lessons the whole time. And I was able to go to Juilliard after I graduated high school, which that, you know, I went there for composition. And that was very helpful too. But during that time and the years after, that's when I began to, you know, play on the Isley Brothers records, you know, me, Ernie, and Marvin, the younger brothers. We had started a trio when we were teenagers called the Jasmine Trio. And as we got better, you know, the older guys wanted us to record with them. So that's kind of how it started, the two groups, the older brothers and the younger guys kind of got together during that time when I was in college. And 3 Plus 3 was the first time we were all seen together on the cover.
Okay. How do you feel like, I know you've been doing this music for a while, how do you feel that the industry, you know, has changed, you know, from the time that you first started in the business? I mean, are you liking it more now, or do you feel like, you know, during the period, because I was out touring during the 70s and the 80s when they had One Stops and, you know, used to have music stores on every corner, which we don't have that today, and I notice a lot of young artists, let me put it that way, don't really appreciate the grind that, you know, artists such as yourself, you know, groups such as yourselves, you know, had to go through, you know, just to, you know, to do this craft. What is your take on that? I mean, do you think it was better then or better now?
I think it was better. I think it was a little better then. And the reason I say that is because you had so many people that were interested just in music, you know, the recorded, the records, you know. People would, like, read the album covers. They would be interested in who played on the record, you know, who sang what, you know, who wrote this, who wrote that. There would seem to be more people interested in music and music history. And there was a lot more bands then, you know, people that played, you know, musicians that played instruments.
Right.
You know, it was a little more interesting. You had so much variety, too, in just within R&B. You know, you had Motown, you had Earth, Wind & Fire, you had the Commodores, you had Al Green, you had Philadelphia International, you know, Stax, Atlantic Records, those artists. I mean, it was just so many variety of talent in one genre, you know, which made it very interesting, you know, and it was very competitive. You know, you had to be able to do something extraordinary for someone to take interest in you, you know. It was about your talent, you know, rather than image. And I think nowadays it's more about image, you know. And I think that's the big differences between, you know, the time periods.
And I totally 100% agree with you. I had a brief stint, should I say, you know, I was with New Birth for a while. And same thing I noticed back then, groups, they looked and act like groups on and off the stage. They just had a whole, entertainers had a whole different persona. Maybe that's the right way to say it. I mean, we embody the entertainment business. So that was us on and off the stage pretty much. And I look at the Grammys and I look at a lot of these award shows. Seem like they've taken away from the whole entertainment side. You know what I'm saying? They're like what you were saying. They're more on the image thing and not into the music. And I don't know if we want to attack the politics, and I'm glad for this show that I can pretty much say what I want to say. I think some of this is because, you know, I'm a 50 baby. I'm a baby boomer. So we had a lot more bands in school. Mm-hmm. We had harmony. We had to learn how to read music. We sang in choirs. Those things were just kind of like there. You know, nowadays we've noticed a lot of the schools don't have the funding for these music programs. A lot of the parents, single parents, they can't afford, or if they're not musically inclined themselves, to teach their children how to play a piano or to read music. I mean, where else are they going to get it from?
Right, right. I mean, that was the thing back then. I mean, like I said, my mother played piano, and it was commonplace that people had pianos in their homes and somebody could play it. You know what I mean? One member of the family could play it. And
somebody.
And that's what we grew up with. We grew up with music around us. You know, my parents listened to music. You know, I liked the music of the 40s. And, you know, back the jazz, you know. I loved that stuff, you know. I was a young guy at the time. I was a kid, but I still appreciated good music, no matter where it came from. And I think it's kind of sad that a lot of that music is not played now. You know, people are not exposed to it. They don't know who Gershwin is. You know, they don't know who Duke Ellington is, really. You know, and it's too bad, because a lot of that music you know, it tells a story. It tells a history. You know, the blues and jazz is really the only original American music. It really is. It originated here, and it right. tells a story. You know, and people need to know what that story is. You know, I think people would grow from it. You know, a lot of musicians nowadays, if they were exposed to it, it would expand their horizons. You know, I know when I studied the classics, it broadened my vision of music, and it helped me in writing the music that I wrote, you know, for the Isley Brothers and Isley Jazz for Isley and now, the things I write now. I have a broad sense of what music is and what I can do with it, and it helped me greatly as a songwriter.
Well, that's definitely a benefit, and that definitely explains, you know, why you're the talented musician you are and why you recognize world over, because you put in the work. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of hip-hop or rap artists don't really see the value in songwriting, you know, and I guess we have more rappers now than we are singers. We have more of those than we are having musicians. You know,
yeah.
And I kind of wonder, where is our music going to go, you know, the next two generations?
Well, you know what? And this is just an observation. It's like even with the video games and things, it creates a mentality of the quick fix, what I call a quick fix, you know, mentality. You're looking for results quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of the music today seems to be, you know, I can sample now, you know, technology's come in and they can sample, which is cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't take as much, you know, songwriting ability and knowledge to sample as it does to write something original, you know, mm-hmm. And, the quick fix thing has taken hold. You know, nobody wants to put in a whole lot of work. You know, like work, a lot of work sometimes seems like it's a waste of time to some people. But you benefit from the work. You grow as an individual from work. You know, your thought process is different when you have to work for it. You know, and you'll always benefit from the things you learn. The more you learn, the better you'll be. You know, and that needs to be, you know, I guess started in our schools, you know, to recreate that work ethic, because you learn so much from it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I just wish there was something that we could actually implement, you know. And I know that, you know, the artists that I interview on this show, you know, I've had Bruce Hawes on here, which is a good friend of mine from Philly International, and we kind of like talked about, you know, the same thing, because, you know, he was doing it big, doing, you know, the Philly International and the Stax era, you know, coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about some of the similar things on what can we do to help motivate these political figures to do something about trying to, you know, put the arts back into the schools, you know what I mean? Get a kid. I mean, that would help some of these kids stay out of the street. It would help deter some of these gang activity, because a lot of us in the music industry have a lot more influence on the youth than a lot of their parents and their instructors do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know, it always, you know, solutions like that always come back to the family, you know. It all starts there. And unfortunately, you know, that hasn't been, you know, focused on enough too. You know, families staying together and, you know, raising the children in a certain way, being examples, men being role models. You know, I talk about, you know, teaching young men to be good fathers in one of my songs on my new album. You know, that is an extremely important role, and it's not talked about enough. And that type of guidance will, you know, solve a lot of problems. You know, how our children spend their time.
Right.
You know, that's so important. And it starts there. Then, you know, it starts, you know, it can go into politics, you know, into social programs or whatever. But if we fail at home, you know, politics at its best can only be a Band-Aid effect.
Right.
You know, it'll never be a solution. And
what
I think people
it?
Need to realize that, you know.
We
politics,
have...
politics cannot solve our problems. It really can't. We have to solve them. And we have to start in our homes and in our character, our integrity. You know, all of those things that are overlooked in a lot of speeches and a lot of, you know, a lot of, when people get up and they talk, they don't talk about, you know, personal responsibility, those kind of things, because that's where everything starts.
No, they never talk about the man in the mirror, as Michael Jackson
yes.
used
yes.
to say. They always pointing fingers and blaming everybody else. But I was going to tell you, boy, I do a show on Sundays on relationships and politics and stuff, and we could go real deep on this father thing, you know,
yes.
because there's a lot of bitch-made men out there. I'm just going to say it like it is. You know, they don't even know who they are. So
exactly.
to expect them to understand words like you just mentioned, integrity, morals, principles, those things, they don't have a clue.
That's right. I see
videos and pictures, man, with 4 or 5 year olds sitting up there throwing gang signs and with rags on their heads, man, and they don't have a clue. But these are their parents.
You know what I mean?
So these are their parents, so they don't even have a clue about morals, principles, and integrity. Those words are foreign to them, you know. But they want to call themselves men, and as you and I know, everybody that make a baby is not a man. And
that's
you can
right.
be 60, you can be 60 years old and still don't be a man.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? You can be a male, it just don't make you a man. So, yeah,
right.
we could go real, real deep on that. But, you know, I'm going to save that one with you for another show. But we're going to play Inspired by Mr. Chris Jasper. How about that? Well, I get worked up on that man thing, boy. I'm so mad at these brothers out here till it ain't funny, man. You know what I'm saying? I look at them and I'm like, man, how could you expect your woman to respect you? You don't even respect yourself.
You can't talk about it enough, I tell you.
Yes, sir. For those who just joined us, we're kicking it live with Mr. Chris Jasper. Call at number 347-308-8747. Call in. We'd like to hear from you. And this is Inspired, Chris, and we're going to let it listen to you.
You all right now.
Girl, Miss Drama Ganza, check. Lip gloss, check. Mascara, check. I am Indy with the homie K Diddy, check, check. You listening to Blog Talk Radio, baby, and I love you for it. Mwah.
Yes, we're back with Mr. Chris Jasper, and that was Inspired off his new album. What was your motivating force behind that one, Chris?
Yeah, well, my motivating force behind my love songs is my wife, Margie. You know, we've been married a long time. We just had our 31st anniversary. And when I was recording that, I was kind of singing that to her. She was in the control room when I was putting that vocal down. And, you know, I think about that. You know, there's a lot of passion in that last part of the song.
Wow. I'm going to get in trouble behind this one. I could already see it. How come you don't sing to me? How come you ain't singing no love song to me? I can already hear it. I'm going to blame it on you, Chris.
Hey, okay, man. All right. Yeah, but, you know, I like to, on this album, I wanted to cover, you know, like love songs, and I wanted to also cover some social issues that I addressed in there. You know, I always mentioned, you know, what I talked about with young men and being fathers, and I addressed education and stopping gun violence, you know, and keep believing. And also, you know, wanted to touch on, you know, my relationship with God and reveal that too, because, you know, we as people are involved in a lot of different things in our lives, and that's what this album is about, is I try to touch just about everything that we experience.
Have you recorded a gospel CD, Chris?
Oh yeah, I've recorded four of them. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. I have four gospel CDs that I've done as a solo artist. You know,
I was saying, forgive me, I wasn't aware, but I can kind of hear it in that song. You know what I mean? I kind of hear it too.
How I do my albums is I keep my what I call my signature sound, my soul music sound, but the lyrics are different, you know. They could be, you know, from some principle in the Bible, you know, which is, you know, that's what I'm about. That's the kind of person I am. I try to live, you know, God's principles every day of my life. So that's part of me. So the fact that, you know, you might hear an inspirational song on one of my albums, that's just who I am, you know.
Right, and that definitely had that feel.
Yeah,
in my
I used to sing in the choir too. You mentioned choirs, you know. Before.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was in the choir, you know, And it's a good thing to sing in a choir. I got the experience to sing with a choir a couple of years ago. I did a show in Virginia, and it was the first time I did my gospel songs, you know, live. And it was a great experience being with the choir again, you know, and they were singing background, and the people, the way they received the music, it was great, you know. That and I hadn't seen that before because the other concerts I've done were just, you know, secular. But
right.
That was a good experience.
Did you direct the choir?
Their minister was the choir director. I wanted to just, you know, sing and get, you know, with the audience, you know.
Right.
I also had my music director that I met in college, you know, way back when, and he's still a good friend of mine, Everett Collins, and he kind of worked with the choir and the musicians, you know, because, you know, logistically it was tough for me. I live in New York, and the concert was in Virginia, so Everett helped coordinate that. And it just worked well together. It was just, you know, good vibes and well-received.
Right. I know that was definitely special, especially, man, to be able to do the type of music you're doing and have to get the audience's response. I mean, I guess that's one of the greatest benefits from this is to be appreciated for your music.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, my songs are like, they're sometimes a little different when you say gospel, because a lot of times gospel is, you know, there's a lot of praise lyrics in there and, you know, things like that. But mine are more, they have content. They're more directed towards a certain principle, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of substance in my lyrics, and it was great to see the response, you know, because I have a couple on this album. One is like Faith. And another one's called Only the Lord Can Do That. You know, those two people always comment and say how much they're touched by that, because, you know, it's saying a lot, you know, in the short space, you know.
Well, I definitely think, and I'm one, and I don't care who all is listening, I think everybody need to get right about now, need to get more in touch with the big boy upstairs. Because if they just look around and see what's going on today, and if they have any knowledge whatsoever of the Bible, if they believe in the Bible,
yeah,
you just need to look around and start paying attention, because it's getting a little scary out there, man. I thought that little short dude in Korea, man, was going to be the cause, you know what I mean? I thought he had on his hand on the button for a minute. And then here lately, man, I got somebody else was talking about some other scary stuff. And, you know, I know it's a conspiracy theory, man, but it could be true. Everybody in California, man, walking around with hacking coughs and don't know where it's coming from or don't know why. And they really mm-hmm. don't have any cold symptoms. And then mm-hmm. somebody brought to my attention this HARP theory, this HARP thing. I don't know if you're familiar with that. H-A-A-R-P.
Mm-hmm.
Where the government was HAARP.
Okay.
And Google that and see what comes up. It's kind of scary. It's about the government was trying to control, you know, the weather and the atmosphere, and they're doing all this little tricky stuff, you know. And, you know, we're in a drought situation in California, so a lot of people are thinking that they were trying to seed the clouds, you know, to cause it to rain, because, you know, we were getting water from, you know, Colorado, Northern California. Northern California is really short on water as well, so California is really getting hit bad. So the conspiracy theory is they're trying to salt the clouds, you know, to create some rain, but the people are breathing in this stuff. Where these coughs are coming from, you know what I mean? They just dry hack and coughs, but there's no other symptoms.
Oh, that's not good.
So I Googled it myself, and supposedly they discontinued this program in May 13. So that's what it said, but, you know, who knows if that's true or not, you know?
Well, that's another one of those things. Only the Lord can do that. That's in my song,
yeah.
Man.
Right. So I'm just saying, if people ain't in touch with Big Boy upstairs, man, they better go get with him. You know what I'm saying? Because tomorrow ain't promised to nobody.
Only the Lord can do that. But listen to that song, man.
That's right.
I'm fooling around.
Scary stuff, people.
Yeah.
Better pay attention. They talking about same-sex marriage. And, oh, man, listen to this one. We had this guy. He's running for president 2016. Maybe I better not do that one either, but it's my show. And I posed that question, and I was trying to find out what we going to do, man. I mean, we going to start cloning kids? Is that going to be the next thing?
I'm telling you, man. What the Bible says, man does not know his way. You know, we don't know our way unless we, you know, do it God's way. You know, we think it's the way, but God knows what's right for us. He made us, you know, and he knows the right way for us to live, and he put it in his word. And we're supposed to be wise enough to follow it. You know, that's the lesson there. I mean, it's there for everybody to read, but are we wise enough to follow his instructions? That's where wisdom comes in.
Exactly. Exactly. And not be listening to the false idols that's be telling
right.
us things that are they're just telling us things are okay when you don't see two male dogs together.
And the Bible also says, you know, the heart is the most deceitful thing of all. You know, what we think is right. You know, that's what it's saying. Sometimes what we think is right is the most deceitful thing of all. We have to remember, God knows best, and that's where humility comes in, you know.
Right.
If you're truly humble, you will know, hey, no matter what I think, God said it should be this way, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, that's a person that is truly humble, and that's why I try to live every day of my life. Is what God thinks, not what, you know, tradition sometimes teaches us, because that sometimes tradition is not what the Bible says. And we have to be careful of that. You know, study, you know, to show yourself approved of him. In other words, we have to be students. We have to study the word. We have to always pray and ask God's intervention. You know, it's if things that we don't understand, he can guide us. So it's important to follow what God thinks is right.
Well, unless you and I not get into politics, because we'll be forced to tell the truth.
Well, you know, I'll wait until a person asks me a question, you know, sometime, because I don't, you know, you're not supposed to offend, but you know, like the Bible says, always be ready with an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just any answer. It's the truth. Be ready
yeah,
with
well,
the
like,
truth.
Yeah, like I said, you and I won't be involved in no politics. I can see that
No,
now.
I can't be. A servant of God can never be involved in politics.
Yeah, I know it would not work, boy, because we'd have to tell a few people about the way they doing some things.
No. That would not work, no.
It would not work. Well, Chris, we got another one of your songs queued up here, In My Dream, so we're going to let our listeners put their ears on that.
That's cool, man.
And we'll be right back with Mr. Chris Jasper, y'all.
Children as they play. By my man, KD, putting it down. I am NJ. Check it out.
Yeah, we back live with Mr. Chris Jasper from the Isley Brothers, y'all. Chris.
Yes.
In my dreams. Don't tell
yeah,
me
man.
That wasn't another one for the wifey, was it?
Well, this is one that I actually dreamt this song. I was playing the piano. I remember I was somewhere, like in the church somewhere, and I was playing this piano. And I had the chord structure and everything. And I woke up, and I went down to the studio and put it on the tape really quick, you know. And that's why it's called In My Dream. And a lot of the lyrics are about the time when, you know, everybody, there'll be peace on earth, you know, sort of like Caravan of Love. Right. Everybody will be as one, you know, even the blind will, you know, see. You know, we'll walk along the Gold City streets. That's one of the parts in the chorus. But the Gold City is a city in Revelation that I named my record label after, you know. You know, and God will be their light, you know, and we will be, you know, his people. That's what that song is talking about.
Wow, that's great. You get a lot of, well, it seems like you get a lot of motivation and a lot of stuff from Big Boy upstairs.
Oh, yeah, I'm inspired all the time, man. It brings me to tears sometimes, the things that are revealed to me, you know. And my brother's a bishop in Cincinnati, and I'll talk to Steve quite often about that, you know, and I'll say, you know, why me? You know, why is, you know, God putting his hand on me like this, you know? And I do believe that he does want me to tell the truth. He does want me to put the truth out there. He does want me to put it in my music, you know, because I've had incredible experiences that I know are directly from him, you know. So I feel very blessed and humbled by that.
I don't want to go let you get off the show, man, without asking you this question. How was it working with Ron? I mean, how was that experience? Because, you know, how was that?
He seemed like
he's a fun, charismatic kind of guy. I mean, how was that experience?
You know, when we were working together as a group, like I said, we were, as I alluded to in the beginning, we were like two groups, you know. The three of us younger guys, we were, you know, the musicians and writers. And I worked with Ernie the most and Marvin. And they, you know, they came in, you know, after the music was done and, you know, like it was time to do the vocals, you know. But it's not that I spent most of my time with the younger guys, you know, because of the age difference, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was closer to Ernie and Marvin. We're different. We're a lot different. You know, I'll put it that way. We're not cut from the same mold, I would put it that way.
Right. You know, I was just wondering, because, you know, back then, you know, you could be 6 months apart, and it was almost like 20 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, how people look at
a big difference apart. You know, they're a lot older than we are, you know.
Okay. Well, I know you and I are right there together, so if they're a lot older, you know, that means they're a lot older.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess the reason I asked that, too, because, you know, I guess back in the 70s, I guess when that all started, you know, it used to be the group name, and then it started becoming, you know, David Ruffin and Temptations, Smokey Robinson. And the
yeah. Movie.
You know what I'm saying? Then it become that stuff, and then a lot of, what's his word, not disharmony within the groups or... I guess that's when egos start becoming crazy and a lot of groups stop being groups. I mean, they stop having that cohesiveness. That's what I'm looking for. They stop being really cohesive as a unit, and it start affecting the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, do you see that true to a certain extent?
Well, for us, it wasn't really you know, it was some personality things and some, you know, differences in opinion as far as the music was concerned, but that wasn't the main thing. The main thing was basically financial differences. You know, they had a lot of problems. They wanted to solve them, you know, in different ways, and we disagreed with, you know, some of the paths that they wanted to take, you know, and it was just an unfortunate thing that we all couldn't, you know, stick together, but it just happened that way.
But you did for quite a few years, and I mean that just says a lot too, because during that era it was just a real trying times, because everybody seemed like, I mean, the Eagles were kind of out of control, and that kind of went off into the financial things, and I know that's kind of what happened with my group. You know, because the egos made people think they had more voice or more say-so than what in actuality they really had, you know what I mean? And I remember, I don't know if you remember G.C. Cameron. You remember G.C. from the Spinner?
Spinner, oh, the Spinners. I remember the Spinners. Yeah.
Yeah, he was before Felipe. But,
okay.
You know, he and I had a conversation one day because he was one of the ones, D.C. Cameron and the Spinners, but it didn't really last long, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
He kind of told me, you know, some things about that. and how to help, how to keep my little ego in check, you know. And but those things kind of trickle down into bad decisions that end up affecting the whole group.
Yeah, I find that egos blind people. You know, that's why it's not good to be that way, because you don't see reality.
No.
You know, you see something else. And when a person's ego gets too big, they become blinded. You know, it's really a handicap. A lot of people think it's good to be that way, but it really isn't.
No, by no means. You know, I used to say too, you know, we need a certain amount, you know, just to perform, just to get on stage, you know, because everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to dislike you. So you need a certain amount. It's like ethyl in your gas tank just to get out there, you know. But like you said, you definitely have to keep it in check, and you definitely have to remain humble and remember, if it wasn't for our fans and the people out there, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Right. You know, I tell my son all the time, Michael, because he does, you know, music, and he does a little different stuff. He does dance music, but he's working on an album now. And I tell him, I said, you know, Mike, there's a difference between ego and confidence. You know, you need confidence. You need to be a confident person. But ego is something else. Ego is, like the Bible says, don't think more of yourself than what you really are. You know? And that's what ego does. It takes a person's mentality to a place that doesn't exist, you know, and that's the bad thing. But you should, like you said, you should have some confidence in your tank. You need confidence, but you don't necessarily need an ego, because an ego is something that goes too far, and it can blind you. I've seen it firsthand. And you mentioned, you know, I didn't bring it up, but you mentioned Ronald, and you know, I mean, It hasn't been the best thing for him.
Right.
You know, I'll just put it that way.
Right.
It always comes back to bite you somewhere.
And if you look at it.
Sometime, somewhere, when you're out of touch with reality.
And if you think about it, if you look back at a lot of other groups that I'm sure you know that had similar situations, it really didn't work out too well for them either.
Right. Because, it never does.
Because the strength and the power was in the unit. That was the magic. The group was the magic. A lot
yes.
of times people forget that. The group is the magic. That's the
and
magic.
And the music.
Right,
you know,
but that's all part
music.
Of what I call the magic. When you get away from the magic, things change. You know
that's
what I
right.
mean?
That's right. And
things change. It's like taking an important ingredient out of any dish that you prepared. It's not the same. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
It's not the same.
It's not.
And you know, and a lot of artists too, a lot of these young artists, like, well, man, I don't want to sing that song no more. You know, I've done that. But they forget that the consumers, the people that come to your shows, they come to hear you perform that song or sing that song like you recorded it yesterday. They don't care
right.
how many times you've done it.
Mm-mm. They don't
you
care.
Know what I mean? They don't
That's
care.
Right.
And to me, that's the mark of a true professional. If you've done it a million times, if you get up there and perform that song like you just did 5 minutes ago for the first time, that's what them people are paying to come to see. They don't want to come up there and see necessarily you do all your new material. They don't know that. They don't have a problem with you putting one or two in there, but
yeah.
not the whole show, complete all new material that they have no clue what it is and never heard it before.
That's right. That's right. You know, and it's. And it talks about the type of song that they want to hear. I mean, that must have been a really good song, you know what I mean, for them
exactly,
to want to
hear it. Exactly, because they want to hear it. Look at my man Frankie Beverly.
That's staying power, you know.
look at Frankie Beverly.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
He's doing – how many – when was his last album? I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But he
I'm
sells
you,
out everywhere he go. Everywhere he go, he still sell out shows.
That means you did something good.
Hey, more than good, because, you know,
yeah.
some people can have a hit 2 months
Something
ago
that
and you want to hear from 2 months from now, you know, and they didn't have a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's just amazing. It's totally amazing. Well, Chris, it's been fun, and I'm definitely going to have to get you back on the show. I'm going to have to get you on the, on our Sunday show. We can talk religion, so we could talk about these daddies a little bit more.
Oh, boy. If you want that.
Oh, no. Hey, look, that's what this show is about. The Sunday show is definitely about that. So I'm with you. Each one teach one, and, you know, that's what we're about, trying to, you know, help the youth, because that's where our future is.
Oh,
and,
yeah, man. They have to hear the truth.
And I definitely want to give a shout-out to my partner, Terry, over there at Culture Pearls, and the movie that she's doing. Definitely going to go a long way, in, you know, as far as helping kids and, you know, try to stop, you know, children trafficking and child abuse and all that stuff. But, again, I want to thank you for taking time and coming out and joining us, Chris. And anything we can do over here, you got it.
It's a pleasure, man. And great talking to you guys. And I just want to let the fans know I appreciate them and appreciate you and, you know, the people that play my music, man. I really do appreciate it. And ChrisJasper.com is where you can reach me and find out what I'm about.
All right. And we're going to be in touch with you, sir, too. And maybe I can get you to work with us on a song for the soundtrack for the film as well.
Oh, film. Yeah, okay. I love films. Definitely.
All right. We're going to be talking to you about that as well real soon.
Okay.
All right. Thank you again, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Yes, bye. Mr. Chris Jasper, y'all, from joining us today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Come back next Wednesday, same time. Check out your boy K Diddy right here on I Am Indie. Just a world movement thing. If you don't know where we at, www.worldmovement.com. Go check us out. Look at our music. Look at our books. Check out our movies. Check out CulturePearlsEntertainment.com. You know, because we got it going on over here. If you don't know it, tell somebody. If you still don't know it, ask your mom or ask your daddy to tell somebody. But come back and check us out. You know what I'm saying? Right here. I Am Indie.
All right. Put down those guns and pick up those books and listen to what I'm getting ready to put down.